Shanti, and big welcome to Janti Bank for spending, having the time to come and have this heart-to-heart conversation.
Oh, Shanti, happy to see David in a different role.
Yes, it's a very unfamiliar role of mine. Yeah, I was thinking how we have all these different parts sometimes that emerge. By Vijay the other day said, can you facilitate, or and I thought, okay, yes, something new. And then I had the topic I thought was actually this crisis topic, which is part of today's as well, but then Vijay just said to me earlier, no, this is going to be a heart-to-heart conversation, and the other one will be recorded, and this is not to be recorded, as in, of course, in drama, it will be recorded, but not on the phone or any social media. A little bit louder? Okay. Thank you. Okay. So, just to start, I was thinking Brahma Baba took 32 years to become Karmateet, and I was just thinking this group is 30 years and more, and still a lot of us here. And I was thinking, actually, first thing on, you know, I've been thinking of this aspect of silence, and I think, okay, well, Baba's soul world is silence, Baba's language is silence. If I'm sitting in meditation in a state where there's very few thoughts, in a real deep state of silence, is that soul world? I mean, sometimes I feel, well, is it, okay, the soul's in the body, but it's connected to soul world through the just being in that state of silence. What's your experience of that state? I mean, for a length of time, because sometimes you think, okay, you can go a long length of time without any thought at all, just sitting in that space. And to me, that feels, that's like a space where you're energized, you're sort of recharged without any thinking at all. What is that?
I think that it's not a good idea to have a space in which it's just you without any thoughts, because it makes you very vulnerable. You don't know what sort of energies are around you, and you're absorbing all those energies. But what is very, very powerful is when you're quiet, not many thoughts, but you feel Baba with you, and maybe you can even visualize Baba with you, and you're receiving something from Baba and filling yourself with that. So I think that that's very important. I think just to be in a state of emptiness, nothingness, is a little bit dangerous. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes. But isn't it like, I mean, there's a, what is seed stage then in that sense?
The seed stage is a stage of being very full. Yeah. It's not empty.
Yeah.
It's not just silence, but it's a silence in which you're experiencing the original qualities of the self and even Baba with you. Mm. So that stage is very important, and we need to cultivate that more and more. Mm. And that's going to be the stage in which, especially when you're with Baba, then the purification processes are happening. The alloy is being removed.
So one would say that there's still thinking before that process, to think yourself into that process, because
usually it's a stage in which you're experiencing a closeness to Baba, in which there's a conversation going on with Baba. Very slow, not many thoughts, but the connection with Baba is being made in terms of all relationships and that feeling of love. And then beyond that, then not even conscious thoughts of relationship, but just that sense of pure love and the fire of love and the soul being cleansed through that.
So, and another part I was thinking was with that aspect of all relationships, when obviously in our interactions with everyone, in our generally daily activity, of course, we're dealing with a lot of things, and generally that's our, that would be our test field, you could say, or our, you know, to practically when we, a situation comes, how we deal with that. Like I was recently, I was interested in something, and I had the thought of something, and I went to somebody asking about that particular item, and that person had that item in their hand at that moment, and they said, "I just had the thought of doing that, and that person had just done that and had that paper in their hand." And I was thinking, how's, you know, when situations like that happen, how are we connected with that process, which is...
You're in tune with drama. And this is something that many people experience, especially in Madhuban. You want to meet somebody and you don't have their phone number, you don't know where to look for them, and suddenly there they appear. They're right there in front of you. And so in Madhuban, where there's a very pure vibration, then you're able to resonate with that and things manifest. And so I think that what you're talking about is part of that same process. You think of something, not just someone, but you think of something, and there you go, it's right there, ready for you.
Because Baba used to say also, if you bring the thought, word and action, if you have the thought to put that into practice, is that same, in that same link of, if we have the thought, if we can actually put it into practice to do that now and right now, mm-hmm. not to sort of leave any gap.
It's true that if I have, especially if I have a pure thought, then that pure thought, if it's related to something to do in action, then if I move with it immediately, things manifest and flow. Or if it's something that Baba has mentioned and I put that through into action, that also is a lot of help from Baba at that time. Like yesterday, Baba asking us to make all those different promises. If I took it up and I said, "I'm going to do this," and I really stick to that, Baba's help is there. I remember when Serve Africa project was going, and Nizar Bhai, I'm looking at Perkin, Nizar Bhai was very, very concerned that the whole continent should be covered, because Baba has said Baba's going to be helping you, and that's going to be for this year. I don't know what's going to happen next year, but Baba's helping us this year, so let's do as much as we can now, this year. And it's true that that part of North Africa, which is the Islamic part of Africa, we weren't able to actually plant the seed of a center there, and there still isn't a center there. All the other places where teachers went and did things, centers came up, and some of them had change of fortune and different things happened, but centers were actually established in all those countries. So doing things when Baba is talking to you about it, do it immediately, and there's a special energy that's there. You know, in 1974, if Baba had said to Dadi Janki, "Go to London," and Dadi had said, "Oh Baba, I've got this and this things to sort out, can I go after 6 months?" What do you think Baba would have said? Baba would have said, "Don't bother." Baba would have said that. But Baba said it, that he accepted it, and things just blossomed.
I remember actually, I think it was in Global Cooperation for a Better World, and I remember in Australia there was a lot of opportunity for service, and I remember someone was asked to do some full-time service for the office work, and they'd come to me, and I was in Indraprastha at that time, and I was doing service full-time for just karma yoga and that, and they had a lot of questions. They come to me and said, what happens if what will happen with this, what will happen with that, and a lot of questions of the possibilities of things, but then that soul never took that chance. And I was thinking to myself, I thought, wow, I didn't have any questions, but this person come to me and had a lot of questions. And of course, I think, isn't it when many times in service where we just say Haji, and even if we don't know, that when we step into that, that all of a sudden this magic happens?
It was one of the mantras that Daddy gave me when I was leaving Pune. She was supposed to come with me to Abu in October 68, but she got sick, and so Baba sent a telegram saying to her that she shouldn't travel, she should stay, and Rajni, my mother, and Jayanti can come, they're part of the family anyway. And so in those days also you needed an escort to take you to Mother Bands, to connect you with the different people and departments, but in this case this is how it worked out. So Daddy asked me to stay. I'd been staying at my grandmother's home. So Daddy said to me, now that she wasn't going to come to Abu, I should come and spend the day and the night in Pune and then leave the next morning for the train to Abu. And the whole day, although she was not well, she was lying, she was meeting any number of people for all sorts of service information and programs and whatever. So it became 10 o'clock at night when she finally got round to seeing me, and she gave me this mantra: even if you don't have the experience, say yes when there's an opportunity for service, because you learn from it and you move forward. And if you say no, A, you're shutting the door to learning more, and B, they'll hesitate before they ask you a second time. And if you think that a service is below your dignity, still say yes to it, because it'll teach you something very important, and also it'll open the door for further opportunity. And so you think it's too big for me, say yes, Baba will help. If you think it's below my dignity, it's okay, let me say yes, there's a reason behind this particular offer coming to me. So it's been my experience that that's what's carried me through.
And do you have the, there's always interesting this aspect of Karan Karabanha, what's your experience of that? What stage for us to be in, that even though we don't know that, of course, or I don't know that, if Baba works through me at any time, or I don't know whether anyone else does. Did anyone have the experience of that? But you know, when that Baba says that's his part, and I remember once just before coming to Gyan, I said something to someone which was a lie, and I had the experience of somebody looking through that person's eyes, which instantly was like I had to say that person that was a lie, because it was so strong, like a Dharamraj sort of experience, that I knew there was some being or some intelligence that knew what I'd been doing. And of course when I said that, it was such an impact that I felt after that I had to be truthful. How much do you think that happens with Baba? Not that particular experience of that same thing, but when Baba does work through us or anyone at any time, what's your experience?
It's constant. If I think again about this lady, 59 years old, coming to London for just a few sets of clothes and a suitcase full of mangoes, because Baba had said take mangoes for everyone. So that's what we did. And how did service happen? How did it all unfold? It's Baba at work. It wasn't Daddy planning and saying, let's do this, let's do that, let's do the other. But that yes, she did follow whatever Baba said in the Murli. She wanted to experiment with that so that then everything would be done. But there wasn't a grand plan of world service or anything like that. It just happened organically and it just unfolded. The right person came, they offered, and something happened. Everything has been Karan Karavanhar. How could it have happened that in 40 years centers were established in 110 countries? How did it happen that Dadi Kumarka goes to the UN when there isn't even a center anywhere in the USA, just at the invitation of one sister? That's it. It was one young sister who actually had married because there was family pressure. But she was now settled in New York and she was absolutely determined that Daddy would come. So the number of calls she made to London was incredible to make sure that he would come. And that he hadn't been able to get a USA visa because of lack of time, because she needed to be in Bombay X days and she didn't have that time. So she came to London without that. And then I remembered somebody in Trinidad had been to the Caribbean by then. This is 77, and I'd gone to the Caribbean 75. So I called this person and I knew he had the possibility of contact with ambassadors. So I told him the story of Daddy coming and I said, do you think you can meet the American ambassador and get a visa for Daddy? And he said yes. And it became a reality. Now, how many people can get an American visa with an Indian passport in those days? Because the politics were America was with Pakistan. No question about it. Russia was with India. So it was a big divide. Indian passport and no visa, and you're in a third country and you get a visa. So who was that? I mean, and the whole service started from that moment on. So not just the UN, but the center being established in Texas. If Daddy hadn't gone, it would have taken another 10 years maybe. So everything.
All the time, yeah.
The pundit who invited me to Guyana, how did that happen? I'm sitting in London and I've never heard of a country called Guyana. And this pundit is there at a lecture that I'm giving in the Caribbean Society place. And he says, come to Guyana. And I first find out, where is Guyana? And then I'm thinking that, well, this is a lovely invitation because I realize that he's quite a powerful guy for that country. He's a pundit, so he's up there in the ranks because the government worked with the Hindu Mahasabha and that group. And I'm saying to this is before Daddy came to London. So the invitation was 1970, before the center started. And when the delegation comes, I tell them, can you go to Guyana, please? And they say, sorry, this is our route, and it doesn't include this. Can't change it. And I'm waiting for somebody powerful to go. So 71 goes, 72 goes, the man keeps coming every year to London. And then 74, Daddy's there, and it's the year of women. It would have been 75 that he came, the International Year of Women. So Daddy's already been there for a year and a bit. And I'm still waiting for somebody powerful to go. And Daddy says, well, there's not going to be anybody else who's going to go from India, you go. And I'm a bit aghast, going to a new country. Don't know anyone except one individual. And Daddy's saying, off you go. And then it was God's plan, just magic, just incredible. So I'm talking about two little experiences that I know of. But ask everybody in this room of their role in service and what's happened in the countries that they belong to. South Africa, magic, really. Every single center, not just every single country, but every single center, it's been God's magic. So, Karan Karavanhar, absolutely. And then who would have imagined that from Guyana, Canada would start? And Ramesh is sitting there, and he became the instrument totally incognito. I'm sure most of you don't even know his name, but he was the instrument to start service in Canada. So really, just God had a plan, and things worked out according to God's plan. You see it in a big picture in that way, and then in little things you see it in your own life, not just in the experience of Dharam Raj. That was powerful. But in day-to-day things, I wouldn't have thought about this. How did it work out? I mean, the whole thing with the environment, and how there were individuals who were interested in the environment, but we didn't have a group of people, we didn't have a team, and we didn't even know that there could be something like that and there would be a team. And again, Sonia, Copenhagen, and there you go. And look at where, how far. We're not just there in one UN conference now, if you're in about four. Sonia, right? About four different UN conferences that we attend, connected with the environment. Yeah. Yeah. So, service, definitely it's God's plan. My personal development can be, if I let go of my ego, while I think I have to do this, I can do this, there'll be lots of obstacles and barriers. And when I think, well, can I be part of God's plan? And what is God's plan for me? And I keep checking in with Baba. Baba opens the doors and shows me. He doesn't make a sound. He doesn't tell me in words. But it's very clear that if I've said to Baba, Baba, I want to change whatever it is inside, whether it's attachment or whether it's ego, Baba, I really want to change this. Baba steps in and helps, and things fall away in a very simple way in which you didn't think was possible.
I was thinking of that, that what the obstacle part would be the thinking I'm doing. And sometimes I think when you know, to catch yourself when you think or even say that I've done this or I've done that is sort of somehow create some sort of obstacle, or there'd be something will test that language, what the soul gives out, as in the sense of if I think I've done something, then it's almost like we set ourselves up for some sort of challenge.
Well, what happens then is that the energy that can flow from God and through me and remove things that are in the way, that's not working anymore. I've put a stop to that energy. And so then it's hard work, whether it's personal transformation or whether it's service. As soon as you start thinking, I'm doing this and nothing can happen without me, I have to be here, I have to do this, then that energy stops.
Yeah, so what's next? Maybe somebody wants to share any question, maybe, of their...
There's a roving mic.
Yeah.
So because it's a group of 30 years plus, I was remembering two words came to me this morning. I'll say them in Hindi first. Ant and Ati. And the context in which means the end and completion, I think.
Adi is beginning.
Ant and Ati.
Ati, extreme.
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 Extreme. So Baba had once said that when something is about to finish, it shows its fierce and extreme form. And I was also remembering that many years ago, Davi had said, somebody had asked Davi the question, and it was kind of mentioned this morning in class, how come older Brahmins seem to have worse behavior than newer Brahmins or those who are not Babas per se. And Daddy's answer had been, because the longer you are around, this superficial cleaning has happened, and so the murky stuff is now emerging. So I was wondering, Jindibin, how do we know that when our samskars are coming up in a hard, harsh, forceful way, that it's because they are coming because they're about to go? The extreme is happening because the completion is around the corner. Or how do we know whether it's just because we have been careless and we haven't looked at those things, attended those things in time? And so now time is running out, so it has to come up. Like, how do we know? And what do we do with all those things, those strong things that they're in front of you? And then to say self-acceptance at that time kind of feels a bit tough, because it kind of can hamper your self-respect.
Let me deal with the easy things first and then we get to this. When you're new in Gyan, then the intoxication of Baba's knowledge is so beautiful that you begin to follow all the disciplines accurately, right from word go. Amrit Vela is there, your attention to Murali is there, your chart is there, and so, like you said, the behavior seems to be exemplary, really a good Brahmin. And then as you go along, you get a bit careless. I've heard these Muralis before, you know, what's new about these Muralis? And if you're 10 years in Gyan, you've heard the cycle of Muralis 2 times already, and multiply, and so you get a little bit careless about study, in that sense of actually focusing and understanding what Baba's saying. So that's the difference between newbies and the golden oldies. In terms of Lokik people, there's a code of conduct that you have to observe. And if you don't observe that at work, you lose your job. It's as simple as that. If you don't follow the precision of the code of conduct that's expected of you in a particular role, out. Nobody's going to offer you any excuses or, you know, chances or anything. They might caution you once or twice, but that's it. You're out. And this is a family, and it's a family established by God, so it doesn't quite happen like that. Even within a social context, never mind work context, and you lose your salary and job, but even within a social context, if people really step out of line, then they lose respect, people lose respect for them, and they don't invite them back again. Finish, that's it. Might be given one chance, but maybe not even one chance. You have to follow the code of conduct. So this is why it's something that is deep within us everywhere in the world. It's different codes of conduct that's expected, but it's there in some form or another. And so this is why on a superficial level, and of course they're quite new souls also, so they're not tamopradhan yet. They will be, but at the moment they're still maybe in the rajo stage. Not many in their sattva stage, but certainly in the rajo stage. So that's the easy part to understand. I think that it's both combinations, the combination of the two things that you've mentioned, that A, now I'm really going very deep, and so the things that are still there that I hadn't been aware of are coming up. But it's the same thing, where if I've been careless and I haven't given enough attention, because both cases it's a question of attention, so where I haven't given sufficient attention, then again things are now coming to my mind in a very overt way, a very conscious way. And even then, maybe I'm not aware of it, but others are seeing those. And maybe if I see the problems I'm causing, if I take the time to explore it and say, well, why is it that things aren't working out as I would wish them to? And while you're still pointing the finger outwards, you're never going to realize. When I ask myself the question, well, if there's something going on that isn't according to what I would like or I feel is part of God's plan in the way that things should develop, well, what is it? What am I doing? Instead of, you did this and so this is why, this is the problem I've got. So that carelessness of just ignoring what is my responsibility and putting the blame outside, that's huge carelessness. But that also then means that those horrible things keep coming out. So they're both connected deeply. And so what I need to do is, I think, when it's Baba's Muralis, and Baba's Muralis are giving us very clear comments today, is it that I don't love? Is it that I carry hate? What is it? Where is it that I'm stuck? What is it that is my tail, the ego that I can't see? But I just have to go through the whole list of things and see, well, what is the main issue? What is the main factor that's, you know, Daddy often used to tell us that there's one main problem, one main fault or weakness that's manifesting itself in different ways, but it's actually one root cause. So can I see what is that root cause? If everything is moving smoothly, it's moving fine, great. But if it's not, then let me find what that one root cause is and try and sort it out, if I'm interested to sort it out. If I shrug my shoulders and say, well, that's how I am, that's it, well, Baba will also say, fine. But here's Baba offering me my full inheritance, and I'm saying, well, Baba, I'm content with a quarter, or I'm content with half. I'm not really interested in anything more, which is what I say if I'm not willing to look at myself. So I have to work.
Two questions to unpick that a little bit. What's the method to find the root? Because there's a tree, how do I find the root? And the second thing is this last comment that you made, that some people say, well, that's just how I am. That could be that you're just so scared that you've left it so long that now you just feel it's too big for you to do anything about. It's like a huge fear that's making you say that. So how do you overcome that fear? And because, you know, spiritual failure is also a thing when you're older in Gyan. You've tried something and tried something and you don't get anywhere, so a part of you closes and shuts down. So what would you say in those circumstances?
What was the first one again?
The root. What's the method to find the root?
I think the starting point is to just see, well, what is it that's causing me pain, and go deeper. Okay, so this person did this and it caused me sorrow. I'm talking about the inner pain. So it caused me pain inside. But why? What was it I was expecting? Was it my greed? Was it my ego? Was it my attachment? What was it? So pain is the signal. When there's pain in the body, it comes as a signal to help you understand that you need to do something differently, that something needs attention. Same thing, whether it's coming from one individual continually or from several individuals, but let me find why I'm experiencing that sorrow or that pain. Because I found Baba, Baba found me, Baba's given me knowledge which is incomparable. There just isn't anywhere else where you can find such knowledge. Whether it's, I'm not just thinking about the knowledge of the cycle and the tree and all of this, which is amazing, but think about all the muralis we've had that have taken up all the detail of the virtues, but all the detail of the flaws, the weaknesses, why, how, all of those things. Baba's explained everything. And so I need to find which of those aspects of negativity it is that is still causing me sorrow and not allowing me to experience Baba's love and the joy of Sangam Yuga. And if I am experiencing the love and joy of Sangam Yuga, there would be no pain or sorrow. You can't say that, yes, I have God's love, but I still find a problem with so and so. If there is that experience of God's love, you'll find a way to navigate your way through whatever is, what might be seeming to be an obstacle, but you'll find a way through it. But there's something missing in being able to fill myself with that love completely, and so something still becomes a problem. And so if that's happening, the pain is coming as a signal to find out what it is. And if I look, I'll find it. That's one thing. And the second thing is, while we're still hearing muralis, that it's not too late. Last night again, we heard Baba say, it's late, but it's not too late. And then Baba's not just talking to the newbies, Baba's talking to all of us. And so I mustn't lose hope and give up. Because that's it. I won't be able to do anything if I do that. But if I say, okay, let me try again. And this time, let me do it very much talking to Baba about it all the time. You know, like if there's really a critical case in terms of health, then the doctor won't say to you, come back and see me in a week's time. The doctor will want an update from you all the time, not even just every day, but depending on if it's serious enough to be hospitalized or whatever. But they'll keep track of it, and then they'll support you and help you. So same thing, when I know that I myself have tried, but it's not happening, it's not working, then let me say, okay, now it's time for Baba to do something and take help from Baba. This is why I was pointing out how Karan Karavan Har works on both levels, not just the big picture of serving the globe, but me. Baba is interested in me, which isn't ego. It's actually very humbling to know that God found me, took care of me, brought me to this point. I could have left Gyan because of this, this and this and this a dozen times, but somehow Baba pulled me by the scruff of my neck and made me carry on. And so Baba's interested. Baba's not just saying, okay, go, do what you want. I've never heard Baba say that to anyone. Nadi didn't say that to anyone. And the people that at some point I thought were ready to go are still here. And there are some people I thought would never go, and they're gone. So there's a connection each one has with God, in which God puts in that special attention and energy to help that soul. And it depends on the story of the soul. If the soul has that bhavna, that love, that trust, then things can change.
So this is the month for truth and manners. What should be our etiquette among the older Brahmins? Because what's very common is sometimes they talk to me like I was born yesterday and I get irritated, and vice versa. Sometimes I talk with them and they say, yeah, I know it already. They feel, you know, they feel I sound so condescending. That's the first question, yeah.
So what to do when you see that in yourself? Or when you see it in others?
Yeah, so what to do? How do we behave towards each other?
The one thing that Baba wants us to have is self-respect. And this is why every single Murali gives us points of self-respect, Sakar and Abhyakta. It's quite clear. The first three-quarter pages of the Murali of Abhyakta Murali is Baba boosting us, really. Baba just praising us, reminding us and lifting us to that level in which then he can tell us what's wrong. If we were to start there, we get stuck there. But he starts up here. Then he explains whatever it is we need to sort out. So Baba, starting with self-respect, because when I have that self-respect, then I'm going to be able to respect others also. And so if somebody else is treating me in that way, then let me maintain my dignity so that I don't lose my dignity. And I'm still continuing to treat them with respect. And then when I see it in myself, again, it's my ego that's doing this. And so I have to practice deeper soul consciousness to be able to see everybody with that vision that Baba mentioned, see them with their original qualities, not just as a point of light, but their original elevated qualities. These things work. It's not that, you know, it's a formula that Baba has given and we're just sharing a formula, but if you practice the formula, it actually works. Who's had that experience that when you actually practice even something very simple that Baba's saying, it makes a big difference? It's a fact.
Chantipen, do you think this is, I mean, Baba's always said that soul consciousness is the easiest and most difficult lesson, first and last lesson, many times. And sometimes I think, you know, having the practice of thinking, okay, do I accept everyone as they are, exactly as they are, and do I accept drama exactly as it is? And when that practice is there, that seems to be like it's those things seem to come into line where you're really detached. And is it when we do that that it's this present moment, we only have this present moment to act in? Like if, and that seemed to be connected to that stage as well, where if you are the detached observer, you're just observing the drama as it is. And if something, what we say seemingly, is not right, because we know drama is acting out perfect, is that the time we act in that? Because it's always, the past is always just that second away. And we can say, yes, that's drama, but then what's the stage then, or what's your experience, how connecting that with soul consciousness, accepting everyone as they are, and of course, like Baba said today, if you accept their, see their original qualities, not this temporary stage now, but the Satopradhan stage or the higher qualities.
In soul consciousness, I won't reject somebody. I'll be able to see their qualities. And sometimes, I don't like this word, detached observer. That's referring more to the emotional upheaval that one feels sometimes. But in terms of interaction with others, I think it's more important to be an engaged observer rather than a detached observer. And so yes, then if I am seeing their good qualities, then my behavior to them won't change because of some incident or situation. But I'll be able to maintain my courtesy, but also my care for them and my concern for their well-being, and that will then be expressed in how I behave with them. So I don't just observe and detach, but I'm observing myself and the situation, and then I'm able to engage in a way that's compatible at that moment, because they also are carrying the memory of whatever it is they're doing and have done. And so I have to be, in a way, not becoming extreme. You know, here's somebody and you have a problem with them, so you don't go hugging them. But it's there, but you treat them with dignity and respect, and they'll appreciate that. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes sense, yes. Anyone else like to?
Didi, how do you practice bodiless fish for your journey, spiritual journey?
How do I practice bodiless stage?
Yes, is it coming out of the body and then you experience that, or how is it like you practice? I'm like, no.
Somebody asked me a little while ago, can I be bodiless even as I'm walking? I said, no, please don't. Make sure you sit here when you're walking. Otherwise you're going to be a problem for others and yourself. So when I have a chance to... So one is the active stage of soul consciousness when I'm talking and moving, but just to keep reminding myself. And the other is when I'm actually sitting and I'm not allowing any other distractions around. My phone is switched off so that it's not that my attention gets diverted on that way. And at that moment, it's possible to be here and then be very detached from the body, but connect with Baba. But it's that stage in which then the body is no longer pulling me in any way. My physical senses are not pulling me. I'm not unconscious, I'm conscious, but now my attention is focused on soul and Baba. And so in that way, I'm going to be able to manage the connection with both Bab and Dada. And then beyond that, there'll be just the connection with Shiv Baba. And so soul connecting with the Supreme Soul. So that's when, this is why Amrit Vela is so powerful and important, because that is a time when there aren't other distractions around. And so now in that moment, I can first be here, then just let go of the consciousness here, and Baba will pull me into that stage where it's just me and God. The other stage that Baba often talks about is the angelic stage. And what I've found is that if I connect with Drishti from Bab Dada is always my way to move forward. And so the Drishti from Bab Dada, then focusing on Shiv Baba, Shiv Baba carrying me beyond to that world of light. And then from that world of light, coming down, taking on my angelic form and meeting Shiv Baba through the angelic form of Brahma Baba. And that stage, you can be up there, but you can bring it down with you. And so yes, you can walk in the angelic consciousness, you can do karma yoga in the angelic consciousness, you can get a lot done, more than you would otherwise in that stage.
Om Shanti. If we were the perfect 30 plus group, what would we be like?
Perfect?
If we were, all of us, the perfect 30 plus group, what would we be like? How would you like us? Do you feel that we are supporting you enough in carrying on the message and doing what Baba wants? What type of group would you like us to be?
30 plus, even in Lokic terms, you know, 30 is an age where there's maturity and where children are grown up and hopefully they've got a good job, they're settled, they're not dependent on their parents anymore, there's a loving relationship, but financially they're independent and maybe they've got children of their own and so on and so on. So just think about that whole scenario. And now, as somebody 30 years in Gyan, am I able to deal with my sanskars without my sanskars troubling anyone else? Have I had enough understanding of Gyan to be able to make sure that I stay content and I'm able to manage with whether it's 5 or 50 or 500 other people? So that sort of stability and self-sufficiency, you're not isolated, but you are in touch with many others, and you know about teamwork. You've realized that whatever you can do alone as an individual is this much, but if there are others around you with whom you can cooperate and collaborate and be in harmony and adjust your sanskars with their sanskars, then bigger things can happen. And if I haven't learned that lesson, then I'm still quite isolated, carrying a lot of stuff, just me on my own, and then complaining there's nobody to help me. But the other way, where you're managing your own sanskars, you're able to adjust with others, and you're carrying whatever responsibility Baba has given you according to Dharma, and you're fulfilling that in the best way that Baba would want, and you're also creating others who are also able to carry more and more responsibility, so that then Baba's service is able to spread further and further. So I see that Lokic example as being a model in the alokic world also. If after 30 years I don't know my sanskars very well, and so I'm still struggling and I'm going through major peaks and valleys here and down here, I haven't given proper attention to study, so let me do that now. If I'm now realizing that, then let me do that. Because service is a very different question, but also of course my own maturity in Gyan will help service, or it'll be an obstacle in service. And so the maturity is this contentment with the self, contentment with others around me, Baba content with me. So that's not something for the end, it's for today, because that's the way in which I will move forward. So I can't say that, oh well, I'll be that at the end. No, but what's happening today? Am I content? Are others content with me?
So mine's a bit of a follow-up from yesterday. Baba's reminding us that the state of the world is just getting worse. It's going to only get worse. And he says that he's not going to do anything on his own. He needs all of us. So how do you see this play out? Like, what do we need to do collectively? Because obviously, in our own spaces, we'll do things individually and also collectively within the small circles we work with. But what can we do collectively now, so that, how do you see this play out? Like, you know, the Dadis are gone, so we're obviously the next lot. So how do we get there?
I think stability is very important. My own thoughts, feelings, moods, emotions? Am I stable? Am I stable in my connection with Baba? Am I consistent? You know, Baba keeps using this word sada, always, always, constant. And so that implies that stability. And so when I come to that stage of stability today, where little things don't throw me out, big things are going to come, and how am I going to deal with all of those? You know, the example of Sunita Williams is very interesting. Expecting to be there 8 days and it becomes 9 months. Now, what would happen to me if I were in a similar situation on Earth, never mind in space, in one narrow little capsule? I'm expecting things to work out in a certain way, and they go completely a different way. Does it shake me? Does it cause me confusion? Does it cause me fear? Does it cause me anxiety? What is it? And so I think stability is a very important factor at this moment, because I don't know where I'll be. You know, the people stuck in Abu Dhabi when they thought that they'd be reaching London yesterday, and then somebody else is going to have to go to Paris first, and then from Paris to not just London but to Manchester, then catch a train from Manchester to London. And so all these things, anything can get very complicated. Just a simple straight flight, but things get complicated. Can I keep my stability if anything happens, whatever may happen? And I don't know what will happen. Did you know there was a big fire just near Mansarovar? There's a big complex called Mansarovar. Who doesn't know what Mansarovar is? Okay, so it's space for, I think, a few thousand Brahmins. And on the way to the trauma hospital, you keep going, 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 going. Then the motorway comes, but before the motorway, a few meters before the motorway, there's a big complex, and it's got blue tinted glass, and that's Mansarovar. It's here, Abu Road, by the trauma center. So you go down by the trauma center, and then on your towards the motorway, and on the right hand side is this Mansarovar complex. It used to be the farm, the riverside farm, Nadi Kinara, we used to call it. So it's there. There's no farm there anymore. It's just huge buildings. But that's been around for a few years now, doing a lot of service. There seems to be one plot of land between where our buildings finish, and then there's, it seems to be sort of like a deserted place, nobody there, and whatever. And there on that side, there was a fire that, if I tell you, that the flames reached as high as the coconut tree. That's how high the flames were. So that it happened Monday, and I got video clips of that, I think, by Tuesday. And Tuesday, Wednesday was really full on. So Thursday, I decided I must go and visit to see the people who worked there. Nobody lived there, but it had a paint shop, Baba's shop, but it was paint for vehicles, not walls, that sort of paint. And then it also had a big carpentry store, one particular store about the size of this hall, and two other stores about a little smaller than this. You go there and there's bags of stuff, and then the people who are there are saying, we're collecting charcoal from the charred remains of the fire. Interesting thing, there's a little tiny Baba's room that's there, and the fire has reached everywhere else, but that room is totally safe. Even the curtains of that room weren't even scorched. The fire just didn't go there, Baba's room. And it was a holiday, so all the drivers were out. The laborers were out, because Holi is a big festival for Rajasthan. And it must have been some young people who were just sitting a little distant away. And they would have maybe thrown a cigarette. I don't think it was intentional, but who knows. But anyway, so it's probably from a cigarette end or something. And nobody noticed because the people weren't around. And so the fire started and the wind came. And the wind made the flames go, as I say, as high as that. So that whole side of where the trees are, they're burnt. The leaves are burnt, the trunk is burnt. How do these people manage? It took 3 hours for 2 fire engines to put out the flames. Everything's fine when you leave it, and then you suddenly get a phone call from somebody who happens to be there, and it's this fire. And of course I kept thinking about Los Angeles fires also, but again there, Baba's home safe, somebody who told, many who were told to evacuate, they come out of that area, they have to leave everything. They come out and they're writing to me, some of them, that we don't know what we will see when we go back, and it takes 2 weeks before they go back. And their home is safe. Brahmin homes always seem to be safe. Brahmin lives, not so much life was lost anyway there. So anything can happen anytime. My stability and my connection with Baba and our love for each other and being able to reach out and help at a time of need. I think that's what we just have to keep aware of. I don't know where I'll be. I don't know who I'll be with. Anything can happen anytime, suddenly. So these are things that have been happening just within the last few days. So can I just be very, very careful about where my thoughts are going, what's causing any upset in my feelings, if there is, and just be able to ground myself to a point where nothing can shake me. Not today and not tomorrow. My trust in Baba, my love for Baba, but also to be able to support each other and help in whatever way is needed.
Thank you very much, Janti Ben, for sharing. And maybe we finish with a few minutes of Shakti Yoga.